Hi, this is Ken Lang. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Puneet. I'm working with FOIT Group within ES DDCI in Hyderabad, Microsoft. We are working on the applications on domains of finance and operations IT.
Okay.
That's about me.
So could you tell me more about what you do exactly in your daily life, Microsoft?
So I am involved in the development team effort within FOIT. My primary job description includes designing and coding of various applications within FOIT. Also, I am involved in managing various vendor resources. The most recent application that I am working on is within Academy. That's about managing assets within Microsoft to calculate the depreciation so that we can claim rebates from taxation and all.
Okay. So this is basically developing VSP or some sort of thing.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So, Puneet, what are you going to talk about today?
I'll be talking about ADO.NET 2.0, the various new features that have been added to ADO.NET 2.0. For doing so, I'll be primarily relating this new enhanced version of ADO.NET with the existing version of ADO.NET.
Alright.
Also, I'll be relating this with the traditional ADO and OADDB based approaches.
Okay.
So very recently in our couple of projects like royalty project that I worked on or asset link V2.0 project that I worked on, we have used ADO 2.0 extensively. And I found that the new features of ADO.NET 2.0 are really great. I'll start with the feature list directly.
Sure.
So to begin with, asynchronous programming in ADO.NET 2.0 is I would say great feature in this new API. Earlier it was very difficult to implement or rather almost next to impossible for an average programmer to implement asynchronous programming in ADO. What asynchronous programming means is that I can open a command, I can run some command on the SQL server, and while that command is running, my application is still responsive to the user and I am able to do some other tasks as well. When I integrate this particular new feature along with the another feature of ADO.NET 2.0, which is MARS, Multiple Active Result Set, the performance, I would say, is going to be great. We will be benefited a lot in terms of performance. What MARS allows users to do is basically open multiple active result sets on the same connection. Combining these two features, what we can have is, we can have two or more than two result sets being opened, running in parallel, asynchronously, and then once they return back, we can do some other tasks on our application.
So how about accessing data from the current ADO or ADO.NET 1.0, 1.1 libraries and over multiple threads?
Sure. So I will respond to this question by saying that different libraries used to manage data connections differently. For example, if we talk about ADO, what ADO library used to do is whenever you will be creating a new connection over a different thread, it will end up creating a new live connection object. It won't be, you know, running queries over the same connection object. However, if you talk about ADO.NET 1.0 or 1.1 library, it used to return an error if you will try to open multiple result sets over the same connection. Or what you could implement is you could have multiple connections getting opened over multiple threads. While that could benefit your programming requirements because you are actually running them asynchronously in parallel, however, there is a bottom-line fact that you are running them over different connections. So you are still having the overhead to maintain two different connections within your application. What is the great part in ADO.NET 2.0 is that you are relieved from this particular overhead of maintaining multiple connections because it allows you to create or open multiple result sets and fetch data simultaneously, asynchronously over the same connection. So there are a few more great features of ADO.NET 2.0 which may or may not be very specific to, you know, the usual scenarios within the development environment. However, in some specific scenarios, developers can definitely benefit all of them. For example, we have a SQL bulk copy class. Any data provider, be it SQL Server or Oracle Server, provides various mechanisms to have a bulk copy of data or bulk import of data into the database. Similarly, we have a GCP command within the SQL Server. However, the GCP command within the SQL Server accepts an input stream in the form of a text file which can be tab delimited or delimited through some other delimiter. SQL Data Copy class allows you to programmatically import the data in bulk into the database server which can be done either through an input stream, which can be again an input text file kind of a thing, or there can be a SQL data header, or there can even be a data set. So what you can basically do is you can actually access your local file system, have a data set file persisted in your local file system, access it through the data set, and pass this entire data set through the SQL bulk copy class into the data set. Okay. Another great feature in ADO.NET 2.0 is SQL dependency and notification services. It becomes extremely important for the middleware developers or the developers who are working on the middle tier to cache some data, because not all the data is going to change very often. An example in this process could be changing country list, or changing or having a scenario where you want to access a list of all the cities or states within a country. This data is almost either never going to change, or if at all there are some changes happening, those will be very less frequent. There are different models which developers have been implementing for this. One of the models is that you build a cache and then expire that cache over a period of time. However, over this period of time, you can really not be sure of whether the data actually got changed in SQL Server or not when you are trying to expire the cache. What SQL Server 2005 specifically offers is a SQL dependency and notification service through which developers can basically register events, and SQL Server is going to communicate to the application that that data has expired, or that particular row within the table has been changed, and now the data should be recached. There was another implementation for this through ASP Cache class, whereby the ASP Cache class keeps on pulling the database. For pulling database, obviously connection has always to be maintained with the database. However, in this particular case, we need not maintain a live connection always with the database. Rather, DB automatically communicates to the client through a notification service that the data cache has expired and now the cache should be updated. There have also been a few small enhancements in the library. For example, we attach a DB file name parameter. Primarily, why this parameter within the connection string was used was for the desktop application kind of scenarios, where the database itself was very application specific and used to reside on the same desktop where the application resides. In this particular case, the applications needed a mechanism to connect or to attach the database dynamically to the application. The earlier versions of ADO.NET, which is 1.0 and 1.1, had a restriction that the full path has to be hard-coded for attached DB file name parameter. However, in ADO.NET 2.0, there is an enhancement made to this parameter whereby users can attach or users can specify this parameter as a related path. This was all about ADO.NET 2.0 developer features that I had to share with you. There are a few provider-specific features as well, which providers can benefit from. If we look at ADO.NET 1.0 or 1.1 library, those were quite interface-centric. Thereby, the providers used to implement a couple of generic interfaces, and that is how we could have some generic functionality coded into these libraries. For example, if we talk about the DB connection class, or the SQL connection class, we have a SQL connection class which basically implements a particular generic interface, and the same generic interface would be implemented by the connection class or some other database provider. While this was a very good approach, this had a limitation that developers could never instantiate interfaces on their own because the instances of interfaces cannot become separate. In ADO.NET 2.0, this programming paradigm has changed, I would say, whereby we have some generic classes already coded in the system.data.common namespace. Within this namespace, we have various common classes already coded which have got all the generically required functionality, and the specific data providers can inherit from these classes and can define their own specific features. Back in ADO days, when traditionally we used to code in ADO days, we used to open a connection irrespective of which connection class object we want to create. We always used to use the connection class. And by opening that connection, we used to pass a provider specific string which included the provider name. For example, in case of SQL Server 7.0 and 2000, we used to pass it as SQL OLED DB. We could use this approach in ADO because all these provider-specific strings, or the prop IDs of these provider-specific strings were registered in the registry. Further, ADO.NET 2.0, the way it is implemented is that every provider registers itself into the machine.config file of the machine, and then the ADO.NET 2.0 uses this information from the machine.config, such that you can still instantiate these generic process by passing the provider-specific strings and have the same functionality which was available in the ADO base. Apart from this feature, there are a few more provider-specific features implemented in ADO.NET 2.0. For example, enhanced support for tracing. Earlier, tracing was pretty much left to the provider-specific implementation, whereby the providers used to implement the tracing mechanism, and the developers were totally dependent upon what kind of tracing is available to the developer for debugging any problem. However, now, ADO.NET 2.0 uses the same tracing mechanism built into the .NET framework, and therefore we have a generic standardized API for tracing, which the providers can leverage to provide tracing to the developer. Similarly, another provider-specific feature is connection pooling. While connection pooling was ever since there since ADO.NET 1.2, in ADO.NET 2.2, the connection pooling has been made available at a more granular level. For example, you can even maintain through parameters what should be your maximum and minimum pool size. Similarly, using the SQL connection class, you can call it clear pool static method to clear the entire pool of connections. In fact, clear pool method clears that particular connection from the pool, and clear pool method, which is again a static method, clears the entire pool of connection itself.
Hi Puneet, so what are you going to talk about next?
So what I'll be talking about is various new features available in the Visual Studio 2005, various language enhancements done to C# and DB.NET, and various enhancements done to the .NET framework itself. They directly or indirectly help enhancing the developer's productivity as well. To begin with, in the new version of framework, which is 2.0, currently we are using 2.0.50215 version of the framework. In this, we have got a better support for asynchronous processing. We have a new class available, which is background worker class. This background worker class helps developers to very easily code a multi-threaded kind of implementation. If we refer to framework version back in .NET 1.1 days, due to various security reasons, whenever we used to implement multi-threading so as to have our application being responsive to the end user, we always had a difficulty in updating the control state. The reason being because the Windows controls were already running in a particular thread, under a particular thread, and from the newly launched thread, we could not refer to those controls, or we could not modify the state settings, the properties of those controls. While this was implemented for good security reasons, this restricted developers' life a lot, and there were some very difficult workarounds to be implemented. Therefore, we could implement delegates in order to update the state of various controls. In the new framework version, we have a background worker class. The background worker class eases the developer's life to a great extent in this regard. We can just instantiate this background worker class, and through its programming model, it has become very easy to basically launch various application functionalities into different threads, and then from those threads, we can easily update the state of the main application as well. Other cool features included in Visual Studio 2005 or the new .NET Framework version 2.0 are generics and partial classes. We have the object-oriented programming concept, whereby we can basically do encapsulation, we can do abstraction, and we can ensure that a class only implements those all functionalities for which it is supposed to implement. And thus we could have our partitioning of the code. However, there are certainly various scenarios whereby your single class implements too many functions, or it becomes very difficult to manage that huge class. Partial classes allows us to basically partition this code into various different physical files. However, logically they still belong to the same class. When you instantiate that class, the line instance and the memory for that class will still be able to access all the functionalities through that instance.
how this helps is different developers can work on the same class at the same time, even when you are integrated with a source safe kind of environment. Different developers can check out files and have their code implemented into those files, however they are still working in their under the logical same logical class name. At the same time, it eases your life because you don't have to maintain a very huge class. You rather can maintain small pieces of the class depending upon how you logically divide that class into physical files. At the same time, it has also helped Visual Studio itself to internally manage its own code. As we all know about Windows Forms based code, the Windows Forms based code, the designer generated code also gets into the same CS file, whereby the CS file becomes very huge and bulky, and it becomes difficult to manage. With the partial classes, we have the same concept as we used to have in DB 6.0 days, whereby we can have a partial class defined for our designer generated code, and we can have a partial class defined for our code behind, whereby we will only be concentrating on what code we need to write within various functions, rather than worrying about what code was automatically generated by the Windows designer. So as I was talking about generics is another cool feature within Visual Studio or within the new .NET framework. We used to have collection classes ever since the invent of .NET world. However, the collection classes had a major performance hit in terms of boxing and unboxing. At the same time, everything within a collection used to be an object, whereby it used to limit the developer's capability to have a strongly typed data getting stored into the collection classes.
So with generics, can we store an instance of a particular class and while accessing it without typecasting, can we get the whole list of class members using the dot operator?
Sure. That is what is the real beauty of generics. So as I said, it does not store your instances or your data as an object, which used to happen in case of collection.
Okay.
In .NET Framework 2.0, with generics, you can actually store your real instance of the class itself. And then while you are accessing that, you will be getting that as an instance of your class. What that means is that there is no boxing involved in between, and thus you don't have any performance hit. At the same time, using the dot operator, you will be able to get the fully typecasted instance of your class.
Okay,
at least you will be able to see all the members, including properties, methods, etc. So now I'll categorize our discussion into three parts. One is language enhancement, and second is various enhancements made to the integrated development environment itself to enhance developer productivity. As I said, my first broad level category, which is language enhancements, that can further be categorized into VB.NET language enhancements and C# language enhancements. In VB.NET particularly, there were quite a few language enhancements that helped programmers to deal with the programming language in a similar way or similar fashion as they used to do with VB 6.0. At the same time, there are some cool features which have been missing from the language. To begin with, we have a continuous statement now. Earlier, there was no continuous statement available, and therefore from the for loop, whenever we want our control statement to start from the beginning of the loop again, there was no mechanism for that. Now we can do that using continuous statements, and we no longer have to use the go to then loop. Similarly, we have a using statement. Where using statement helps us, rather than writing a try-catch family block of our own for every small code segment, we can create variables using the using statement. And destroying those variables, calling dispose on those variables, any kind of error handling can just be handled within that using block itself, rather than writing the huge try-catch and family block. Also, we have a new keyword in the VB.NET language, which is the my keyword. It will greatly enhance developer's productivity, I would say, because it allows the developer using the same my keyword to access registry, to access information like audio files, to access information like local file system, to access information, for example, the user scope and the application scope settings, about which I will be talking very shortly. And there are a lot of various other cool features, for example, accessing all the forms through a form collection. For example, accessing all the web services through a web services collection. Where this helps the developer is, we used to have a form collection or a pre-built kind of form collection available in VB 6.0 also.
Thereby, we always used to just say form1.show rather than creating an instance of their form first and then calling the show method of that. This was, I would say, quite a bit changed in .NET development world. To make it friendlier to VG 6.0 developers, what we have now is we have form selection, whereby whenever you will be accessing any particular form within your application, you always get a single instance pre-built into the form collection. And that helps the programmers to, without instantiating, call the show or show dialog method on that particular form. Similarly, the developers have got web services collection, whereby they can access individual web service instances using this collection. A couple of C# language enhancements, for example, anonymous methods. How anonymous methods helps is, rather than registering a particular event function, rather than registering a function with an event, what you can do is you can write your code within that registering code itself, whereby that code segment will execute as if you actually registered a function and you had that code segment written within that function. This is a real cool feature because it allows the developers to save their time. Also, your code can be encapsulated at small, your smaller segments of code can be encapsulated at the same location where you used to register your events earlier. A few more features of C#, we have property accessibility which we can define at the various accessor levels itself. For example, if you have a scenario whereby you want the getter of the property to be available as a public, however the setter should be available as protected or as internal only, now we can do this. Earlier we didn't have this control and we had the control only at the property level. Now we can actually define the individual getters and setters having different accessibility levels. A few more features of C#, which are very tightly integrated with the integrated development environment, are refactoring. What you can do is, I'll just take an example for explaining what refactoring means or what refactoring can do for us. What you can do is you can define a private variable, and usually a scenario occurs where we want to encapsulate this private variable within a property. We can just right click on that private variable, select refactoring, and then from the drop-down menu, we can say encapsulate this variable. And what we can do is we can have our property generated as a wrapper around this variable. A few more cool features of C#, which are debugging enhancements. For example, now you can have control over whether you only want to debug your code or you want to debug the external code also. For example, within web services, whenever we add web references to our Windows or web application, we don't want our code to step into the web service or the references to a CS file automatically generated by the IDE or generated by the WSGL tool. We can select this flag to tell to the debugger that we only want to debug the code which is written by us. So finally, coming to my last broad category, as I said, is of the cool features added to VB or Visual Studio IDE itself. Those are like snap lines. Earlier, whenever we had to develop a Windows-based UI, we always used to struggle very hard to determine whether our left margins or our right margins or our top and bottom margins are matching with the other controls or not. Now what we have is we have a snap lines within the WinForms designer itself, whereby while we are dropping our objects onto the WinForms, it displays a line indicating that this particular control, particular margin, matches with the other control's margin. Also, we have some cool features like smart tag. What smart tag allows us to do is, I'll take an example again. Smart tag is particularly very well integrated, I would say, with refactoring. For example, if you define a variable and you are using that variable within your same class module or within the other class modules or other modules within your project, now you go and change the name of that variable to something with some other name. The IDE will automatically display a tag here. From that smart tag, you can select an option whether you want to keep this new name and you automatically want to update all the references of this variable, or you want to actually keep this variable as a folder name itself. Following this approach, it makes the code relatively easier to maintain. At the same time, it makes the code less error prone.
Had this not been the case, what we had to do was whenever we change the variable, we have to find the name of the existing variable at all the locations within the code, and then we have to manually go and change all the references, which can be very error prone because we may miss some of the modules. Using refactoring approach, that possibility is gone.
Finally, I would like to share a surprise for all the VB 6.0 developers, and that is edit and continue. So now what we have is, we have the real edit and continue support within the VS.NET, which is available with VB.NET language and C# as of now. The developers can edit their code while in the run mode within the debug mode, and they can continue with their code.
That's it, Sunit. So this is a fantastic feature which you shared, and thanks so much for your talk with us.
Sure, thank you. What I would say is that there are a lot more features added to the IDE as well as the languages. I have covered just a few of them, majorly those which we use quite extensively in our past project.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely encourage all the developers to go back to MSTN and check for more features.
Great, fantastic. Thanks so much, Sunit.